I thank God for what we feel today.
Amen.
And thanking this morning, I know that I'm going to make it. There's no doubt about that.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you know you're going to make it.
Amen.
If you're saved, you know how you've made it.
Yeah.
And even all of that, I'm still amazed at sometimes how it is that this carnal man can cause us to doubt so much. And find ourselves in such despair. I'm going to read some scriptures out of the book of Exodus this morning. If you have your Bibles today. And all of us know the scriptures. You know what the book of Exodus is. You should. If you have an understanding for the scripture. An understanding for the word of God. We know that the book of Exodus is just about that. It's about the Exodus from Egypt. But the 12th chapter is where we're going to take our scriptures from today. And I'm always amazed at how God works. This message goes absolutely with everything that's been discussed today, from Sunday school all the way to everything that's been said and done up to now. And I got up this morning and I was meditating, and this scripture stuck out. And sometimes we do that, and sometimes we question whether it's of God or whether it's just something that that catches our eyes. But I'm always amazed at when God puts His mark on it. And we always know when God puts His mark on it. Because He proves Himself over and over. And that's been said already. The Bible says this in chapter 12. I'm going to read three verses. Chapter 12 and verse 40. He says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." You can be seated this morning. And the thought that we had, the scripture that really caught our attention, was the 42nd verse, when Moses records that it is a night to be much observed. I believe that sometimes we don't always observe the things that God has done for us, and we call them to our remembrance. But I want you to take note at what the scripture says here, because he said it's a night not only to be observed, but a night to be much observed. And then he goes on and he says that it's a night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so as we look at some of these things, we thought this morning about what Egypt represented. We all know, and we've heard it been preached, about what Egypt was and what it represented there. We also know that the Bible tells us that there were other times in the scripture where Egypt was a place that people went for refuge. Surely we know that it was a place where we know that Joseph found himself down there. But we know that later in his life and after his life, how that Egypt became a place of prominence for him, how it became a place of bondage for the children of Israel. We know the scripture tells us here that it was 430 years that they were there down in Egypt. And in that 430 years, what Egypt was to those people, it represented slavery, it represented servitude, it represented poverty, it represented oppression, it represented despair, and it represented misery. That's what it was to the children of Israel when they were there, those 430 years. But the Bible says that God spoke to Moses, and he said, "I want you to take and go get my children and bring them out." What God was doing here was he was bringing about the promise that had been given to Abraham. And God was prepared in all the time, and those many years later, God was making fulfillment of his promise that he had given. Don't ever think that God is slack concerning his promises. But God is faithful to everything that He has ever promised. It may not always be in our time frame. It may not always be in the, hey, listen, this, how quick that we would like to see it come to pass. But God has never given a promise and then forgotten about it sometime later. But we ought to know, hey, listen, that it is for a purpose and a reason that God tarries all the years and all the days that He does tarry. But nonetheless, we know that God looked upon the people here when they were down in this place, and He was coming to Moses and saying, now I'm going to bring them out and I'm going to do it. And when it is done, it is to be observed with much observance, because it is something that no one could have done for them. Only God could do for them what He was preparing to do. Listen, and if I have the strength in my body this morning, I'm going to hope and my hope and desire is to get to the point across to you. What God has done for you and I has much more need to be observed than what He did for these folks in Egypt. For what He done for us is far greater than what He did for these people right here. So Egypt represented all these things to those people. I want you to know, hey, listen, there were times when Moses got down there, listen, and he began to demand in his way, and he began to go to Pharaoh as he was instructed to, and he said, I've come down here to tell you that God has told you and sent me to let the people go. And listen, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he hardened his heart, and there were a couple of occasions when he said, you can go, but on the next day, he hardened his heart, and it got to a point, I believe, that no matter what was coming about, he wasn't about to let him go. He had a stronghold on the children of God, and he thought that they belonged to him. I want you to know something right now. Satan thinks you belong to him, but I've got another thing coming, and he's got another thing coming. None of us here belong to the devil. We were all created in the image of God, by God, and for God. Hey, thank the Lord today. It's by our own, sin and the nature and the separation that caused us to be away from God. That's put us in a place of bondage, a place of misery, a place of despair, a place of servitude. But I've got good news. I'm serving a God. Hey, listen, when it looked like all was lost, He sent a Savior. He sent a remedy. He sent somebody who could rescue us from the poverty and despair and the sin that we were in, and bring us out of that place and make us citizens of a better country. God had already promised to Abraham the land of Canaan. Listen, if you ever doubt that, go back and read when the Lord told him. He said, I want you to look into the stars, and I want you to start walking in every piece of ground that your foot touches. That's the place that I'm giving you. Hey, listen, and I heard a man say one time, a dear brother, he was a deacon here many years ago. He said, you want to know why Israel is as big as it is? It's because Abraham stopped walking. Had he kept on walking, God said, I'll give you every bit of ground that you can cover. Hey, listen, sometimes we cheat ourselves from the blessings of God because we stop doing what God wants us to do. So we find out what Egypt represented here to Israel represented all those things that were in bonds. But the whole time they were down in Egypt, Canaan was still there. Do you notice? I mean, the whole time they were down in that place, God still had a promise of Canaan's land. And I would imagine that those folks were down here, and sometimes they might have talked about the promises that were given. Some of those stories might have been handed down. Listen, but it was 430 years. So I've often preached, and I have to believe that those people probably thought that was the best it was ever going to get for them. They were just destined for a life of servitude. That was just their lot in life, to be in that place. Oh, and there might have been a story of, don't you remember Joseph? Don't you remember how? Hey, listen, that we took Jacob when he died. Hey, listen, don't you remember? Or that Jacob's bones are buried here. For we know that when they come out of Egypt, they took the bones of Jacob with them. But Jacob's bones were there. And listen, Joseph was probably there. And listen, all those forefathers were there. And I would imagine they probably sat around every now and then and remembered and recalled and thought about what it would be like to be in the presence of God. Such a prominent place when the Lord was smiling down on you. And the whole time, Canaan was waiting. Because God had not forsaken His promise. Because even though they might have thought He forgot, God never forgets. I thought about this when we were in Sunday school. We're serving a God who is faithful, and He is faithful to all His promises, and He never forgets. The problem is that sometimes we're such a faithless people, we forget God's promises. Canaan, what did it represent? It represented a place of freedom, a place of God's blessings. That's what it was. It was a place of hope. It was a place of joy. All that God desired for His people and all that God desired for His promised seed was represented in Canaan. It was a place that they could dwell in, that their enemies couldn't harm them. God was going to protect them. He was going to watch over them. He said, "I'll fight your battles." And then here in, in these verses here that we just read, in 41 it says, "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass." Even on the very day that they had gone, 430 years, not 430 years in a day, 2 days in a week. It was 430 years to the very day. Said that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. So God had fulfilled His promise. Thank the Lord. And it was according to His purpose that all those things had to come to pass. But when they went out, the Lord said, "It'll be memorial. It'll be memorable to you. And it's to be observed. And it's to be recalled. And you're to be reminded." I thought about what it was when they left. You know when they left? You know when the angel of death came through Egypt? At midnight. We preach so much about midnight. We preached last week about being in the dark times. I'm glad God knows how to rescue His people out of the midnight. When all hope is gone. Hey, listen, and no one's expecting it. People don't think it can happen. God will come moving through. I believe He does it sometimes just to show us how strong He is in our weakness. When we think that all hope is lost, that all hope is gone, and there's no hope, nothing around us that we can have hope for. God moves, and God moved through Egypt, that land, midnight, that time of midnight. And I thought about that was the time that He left, or the time that He come by those, and He was there in that generation. Hey, listen, all at midnight. But the Bible tells us that there were some there, those that come out of Egypt on that night. They had to do something. All they had to do was obey. What do you have to do to come out of the darkness of sin? You just have to obey. Amen. For God had already told Moses. He said, "Take the blood. Strike it over the doorpost. Strike it over the lintels." He said, "Get in there in that house and prepare the sacrifice and sacrifice it and eat of it." He said, "It's all you've got to do. And you're going to escape. You're going to escape my wrath. You're going to escape the judgment. You're going to escape the death of the firstborn. I'm going to bring judgment down through this land." And when it was all said and done, God knew exactly what Pharaoh was going to do. He knew his heart. After all, he was nothing more than man. And God knew He was going to walk His people out. And on their way out, they were going to spoil the Egyptians and everything they had. And they were going to leave that place, and they were going to begin their march onto Canaan's land. Listen, all we've got to do, if we want to leave this, if you want to leave bondage and you want to get out of the place of sin, is simply obey the word of God. Amen. You don't have to fight. You don't have to do anything on your own. You don't have to come, hey, listen, and pay the preacher. You don't have to sign up here and join this organization. All you got to do is obey the word of God. All you got to do is repent. Hey, listen, I preached that not too long ago. The first message that was recorded that John Baptist come preaching was repent. The first message that Jesus ever preached was repent. Hey, listen, the first message that Peter ever preached was repent. The first message Paul preached was repent. It's the same message today that's being preached that will deliver souls out of hell and deliver them from the bonds of sin. It's simply repent and believe. Thank the Lord. I tried to look this up this morning, and I hope that my numbers are right. But from this time, when God delivered them out of Egypt, over 80 other occasions, I'm going to preach about being observant, holding them in observance and observing them. 80 occasions, if I did it right, it was over 80 occasions in the Bible where God reminded them that He brought them out of Egypt. 80 times. This was God reminding them, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, hey, listen, what this meant to those people was that whenever they were in trouble and God had to remind them, He was simply reminding them to observe the time that He brought them out of Egypt. And also I studied and tried to look this up. Those were the times that God reminded them. But there were over 200 times in the scripture where the Bible refers and talks about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hey, listen, you might say, well, it didn't mean very much. It meant a great deal to God, and it meant a great deal to the people how God had delivered them. And if you think it meant so much that God would bring it up 80 times or over 80 times, how much more do you think we ought to observe the day that Christ has saved us from hell? Hey, listen, we ought to observe it every day. We ought to remember it. We ought to thank Him for it. And we ought to rejoice over it. And we ought to tell everyone about it. How much better is it for you and I that we got saved from hell than for those that come marching out of Egypt? Hey, listen, they went over into the promised land. How much better is heaven than Canaan? Hey, listen, how much worse is hell than what Egypt was? Hey, listen, God has brought us from the lonely place, destitute, and on our way, listen, to burn forever and ever in eternal darkness and eternal separation. And He has set us on a mountain, hey, listen, and put us in a place where no enemy can get to us. God has encamped around us, and He has sealed us until the day of redemption. Hey, listen, your time on the altar ought to be a time that you observe over and over and over in your mind, and thank God every time it comes to your heart and mind of what God did for you there. How much better is it? Thank the Lord. It ought to be much observed. But we know that in just like the children of Israel, as they got out and things began to get hard, there were those that began to murmur. I'm going to say this today, that and when they come out of Egypt, you can read your Bibles. When they come out of Egypt, the Bible says that there was a mixed multitude. You ever read that? Have you ever read that? It said there was a mixed multitude that come out. The Bible also tells us that not everyone that come out of Egypt was of Israel. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it mentions over there, when they began to murmur, you know why? You want to know why they began to murmur? When the one scripture I read this morning at the house in the book of Deuteronomy, they were being fed by manna. They were eating the manna every day. But it said then the mixed multitude began to decry and said, well, we had all this stuff back in Egypt. And it said, then Israel began to bemoan and say, we don't have any flesh to eat. We're just eating this manna. Sometimes you ought to be careful about the mixed multitude that you find yourself in.
That's right.
Because if you're a child of God and they're not, they're going to stir things up that can cause you to begin to question how good God is. I mean, how many of us have been sitting in a crowd when someone gets cancer and somebody pops up and goes, well, why does God let people get cancer? That's a mixed multitude. Well, why does God let all these storms kill those innocent people? That's a mixed multitude. These are questions from a mixed multitude. God's children, I'm going to tell you something. God's just in everything that happens. That God has a purpose for everything. And we're His children. And hey, listen, I don't like it when things happen that go bad. But we are carnal. And these bodies are carnal. And so we know that we're all going to die someday. And where that time is and how that death comes about is not for me to determine. It's not for you to determine. But I know that I come out of sin and I know that I'm going to heaven. And so no matter what happens on the journey, God is still God. And He is still faithful concerning His promises. And what He promised me this, when I got born again was He was never going to leave me. He was never going to forsake me. He was never going to put me off somewhere. And so if I get cancer, He's walking with me. Hey, listen, if I die in a storm, I'll die with Him. Hey, listen, no matter where I end up, I won't be alone because I've got the promise of God down in my heart. And I know whatever happens, that He's still God. He still loves me. He still died for me. And I'm still going to heaven because greater is He than anything this world has to offer. Let's not get caught up with the mixed multitude. We can find ourselves trying to justify God when God don't need any justification whatsoever. Hey, listen, because He's God. And so it was that they begin to murmur and some things happen and they begin to cry. But God the whole time, He said, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that's bringing you into the land of promise. And listen, whenever they murmur, they'd murmur against God, and God would have to remind them, observe, bring those things. He said, remember, I want you to, in much observance, you need to remember these things because I'm the one that promised you and gave you all these good things. And He's still the same God today. He promised us so many. Peter said, great and exceeding precious promises. That's what God's given us. They ought to be held much observance. Well, what to observe means you take note of. I mean, you recognize it. And you take note of it. We ought to take note of how good God is. Amen. All the time. For all of us can be reminded of the day we got saved. And I've said that before. Hey, listen, the day you got saved should be a day of much observance in your life. I talk to people, and I've heard it said before. Well, you know, and people will say, "Well, the day my children was born, that was the happiest day of my life. The day I got married, that was the best day of my life." Hey, listen, but all those should rank below the day that you got born again. The day you got born again ought to be at the top of that list every time. And I believe if you're a true child of God, been blood bought, you know exactly what it is to feel the presence of God overwhelm you and His Spirit come in and take up its abode. And you feel the weight of sin lifted off of you when you took your first step out of bondage, just like the children of Israel took their first step out of Egypt. They left that place behind and they never went back. Hey, listen, if you have come out of sin, you've left it behind. You know what load was there. You know what load was lifted. You know what Christ did for you. And that is the one point in your life when God changed everything for you. It is the place to be held in much observance. And not only in your heart, but everyone around you should know about it. I mean, we carry pictures of our kids when they're born. Nowadays, they got the internet, Facebook, and everything else. I mean, they're posting them left and right. Kid does something for the first time, you post it over here, say a picture over here, you put a picture over here so everybody can see. They get so excited about things in the world, and man, they're blessings, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to diminish any of them. We ought to be proud, and we ought to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. But how much better was salvation to us all when we got born again? When's the last time you told somebody what happened to you? How you come out of that land of bondage. When you come out of your Egypt. When you left sin and you started walking for the Lord. Oh, and we'll still have our mixed multitude. You know what happened to the mixed multitude? And on the journey, they fell by the wayside. That's what happened to them. We might have people in the mixed multitude. They say the one thing, but if they're not on the journey, they'll fall by the wayside. They ain't making it. They're not walking in to heaven. Hey, listen, that's plain. That's clear. And that's what the Bible tells us. The only ones going to heaven are those, hey, listen, that have the blood applied. Amen. Those that come out of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, those are the ones walking through the gates of heaven. Those are the ones going to be rejoicing on the holy hills.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who are going to just take the rest. There remaineth a day of rest for the people of God. Thank the Lord. And it's not in this world. Hey, listen, we have peace every once in a while. We have, we can take comfort in these things, but the but our eternal rest is just exactly that. It's eternal in the heavens. And it still remains. And someday we're going there and we're going to inherit it all. But while we're here, let's hold in our hearts much observance of the things that God has done for us. And don't let the naysayers and the mixed multitude and anything else try to distract us. Because even when it seems like they're getting the better part of us, I'm glad that God still comes by. He don't have to remind me He brought me out of Egypt. He did something far better for me than bringing me out of a country. He reminds me of who I am, and I'm His child, and that He loves me and He cares for me. And no matter what comes in this world, He'll always be there for me. Greater love hath no man than this. And Christ laid His life down for each and every one of us. And all we've got to do is just believe Him. Just believe Him and obey. Can you come out of sin this morning? Yes, you can. You can't do it on your own. But if you trust in the blood of Christ, you come out of sin. You believe Him with your whole heart, you'll come out. Will you have an inheritance? You'll have just as much of an inheritance as anyone else. Doesn't matter if your age, doesn't matter how long you've lived, don't matter how, hey listen, doesn't matter any of those things. Thank God that we hold these things in much observance. We ought to. I told Mary the other day, we was at a funeral, and come up about making a profession on the deathbed. I told Mary, I said, I would never say that there's no such thing as a deathbed profession. I believe that can happen. I believe that can happen. But I don't recommend it. I believe God can save you there, but I wouldn't recommend depending on it there. The Bible teaches us plainly, when the Lord calls, that's the time to answer. And I believe God is merciful, and I don't try to, and I'm not saying, I'm not putting limits on God, I'm not putting bounds on God. I would never do such a thing. He can save somebody in their last breath. But all what you've missed out on in life, if you've lived a whole life without Him. Because the life I live now, hey listen, I live in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the life I live now is far better than anything that I ever knew before. Thank the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. And I thank God for that day. And I thank God that I can share that day. And I'm glad you can share your day. And if you don't have a day, today could be yours. Let today be the first day that you start walking out of sin and on your way to heaven. Yep. We're going to ask everyone to stand to their feet today.
One fifty-three.
Do you have a day of much observance in your life? I mean, that day that ranks up there, I mean, that's what was happening here, was those people were leaving that place. I mean, what a change in their life. They went from being in bondage to being free. I mean, there was no singing for joy down in Egypt. But when they got out of that place, the Bible tells us that they sang songs praising God. I mean, you come out of sin, I mean, it's a change. You'll sing in your heart. I mean, you've got a new song in your heart. You've got joy in your heart. There's a peace that overwhelms. waste another day. Don't live another day in sin. Testimony thing on your heart.